And the Bible says, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.' And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him in the same night, and said, 'I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake.' And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and some real hard name to pronounce, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, 'Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you?' And they said, 'We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, Let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord.' And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and sware one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, 'We have found water.' And he called it Sheba. And therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah." Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the preaching of your word today. Put it into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message this morning is Keep on Digging. And we saw several wells there in the text. And, you think about the old days about digging a well. I've never had to dig a well. I've seen some of the old ones, and think about in those days, the arid land. I imagine you had to dig pretty deep in most places to get to water, and probably had to get to a specific place. But can you imagine, having to dig a well, dig down in there? It's like working in a phone booth. You didn't dig it out any wider than you had to, just wide enough that you could work and dig and put the dirt in buckets, and they would haul the dirt out and dig down, down, down to get to a well. Man, I mean, it was a job to get a well dug. But the thing was, it was a vital necessity. As I said, that land where Abraham had dug those wells, and now we see Isaac redigging those wells, was a dry place, an arid land. And water, we're so used to having water. When we had that storm a few years ago, we didn't have it. We found out water was, hard to come by and get. But in that land, water was life, and water is life. I mean, if you don't have water, we're fortunate. We've got rivers, and man, this year we've got plenty of water. We've got more than enough, and we can just turn on the spigots, and there's bottled water and all that. But if you don't have water, it's death. And when you think about this, traveling in those days, people would plan their trips. There would be wells in certain places along routes, and you had to make sure that you carried enough water to go from point A to point B. At least you could get there and get more water when you got there. And if somehow you got off course or something, of course, you could die from not having water. So you better have enough for it and go the right way. Now, in those days also, when the enemy wanted to run you off or defeat you somehow, what they would do is a lot of times they would come in there, sneak in. If you had a well outside of a fenced-in city or something, they would sneak in. They would clog up the well. They would throw rocks and everything down in the well. And, of course, you couldn't get to the water. And, we see with the digging up, and, it would be a lot of work right there. Now, there's a lot of spiritual pictures and truths that's in connection with this text and digging wells that I want us to look at this morning. The number one thing, or one of the things we see, Abraham dug these wells the first time. He dug them himself. And when he dug those wells, he dug the wells, and anybody dug the wells. Why? Because they wanted to live. They dug wells because they wanted to live. I mean, that's it. You had to have the water to live. Well, listen, here's the spiritual picture is this, in the spiritual sense that, you know, we have to have the water, the Word, you know, the living Word. We have to have Jesus Christ. We have to have the Word of God if we're going to live spiritually. We'll be just as dead spiritually as we would be physically if we didn't get the physical water, if you don't get the spiritual water. We have to do that. Now, digging a well also was hard work. But it was worth the reward. I mean, if you had a place you wanted to live there, you wanted to live, you were going to have to get to water to live. And it's the same way in a spiritual sense. You're going to live spiritually if you're going to dig out and get to the water, you know, the water of the Word. There's several facts about well digging that would apply here as well. The deeper the well, the more it will cost you. The deeper the well is, when they come and dig a well for you, even today, when they pound one in with a machine, farther it goes, more it costs. Every time you see one of them casings going down, cha-ching, 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 the money's going up. Cost you. The deeper the well, though, the cooler the water. Huh? The deeper the well, the cooler the water. The deeper the well, the greater the abundance, the more water there is. The deeper the well, the higher quality the water. Doesn't have all that surface runoff in it and all that's pure water right there. There's all those that tie in a spiritual way as well. You know, I talk to people all the time. They say, you know what, I want to have a closer walk with God. I mean, if I ask all of you on an individual basis, would you like to have a closer walk with God? Most of you say, yeah, I want a closer walk with God. I'm going to tell you something, it's just not going to happen. You're not going to wake up one day and a lightning bolt comes flying in, boom, hits you, and all of a sudden you're going to have a closer walk with God. I got on the teens, I went up the class one day and looked, and most of them didn't have their Bible, a lot of them didn't have their Bible. And so I talked to them about getting their Bible, and the next week they came, they said, look, Pastor, we got our Bible. We got our Bible. I said, great, but it don't work through osmosis. You know, you got to open it up and you got to read it. It's not just carrying the Bible around. It looks good, but it's not going to just transfer from in there into here. You know, you got to open it up and you got to get down there and read the Bible. So listen, you want a closer relationship with God, that's great, but it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some effort. You're going to have to spend some time in prayer. You're going to have to spend some time in God's Word. But I'm going to tell you something. The work will be worth the reward, you know, in a spiritual sense. When Abraham dug those wells, like I said, you know, they were good wells. There was water there. They supplied Abraham in his day, and he lived. Abraham lived. But now it says that as Isaac comes along, years have gone by, the wells are stopped up. The wells are stopped up. And, you know, there's some points here that I want to look at in by way of any introduction here. You know, you've got to really dig your own wells in a spiritual sense. You've got to dig your own wells. You can't live off somebody else's well. You know, I mean, I study and I study the Word and I read and I get ready to preach and all that. And, you know, I got the message today and I'm preaching to you, and hopefully this will help you as well. But you can't live off what I'm doing in your own spiritual life. I mean, I'm helping. I hope I can help you in your spiritual life. But I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be enough. If you just came here, listen, in a physical sense, if I gave you a glass of water this morning and you drank it, and you did not drink another glass of water and got no water from nowhere else, I'm talking about sodas, caffeine, any coffee, you didn't drink nothing else, by next Sunday you'd be dead. Amen. You'd be dead if you got no other fluid by next Sunday. And if you, all you get is what I give you spiritually today, I'm going to tell you something, and you don't get nothing else the rest of the week on your own. You're not digging your own well, digging it, getting to that water of life on your own. I'm going to tell you, by next Sunday, you're going to be dead spiritually. It's the same principle. You've got to, there's a spiritual life, man. We're a body, a soul, and a spirit, and our spirit's got to live. And you're not going to get enough from any preacher on Sunday morning to get you through the rest of the week. You got to do some digging on your own. You got to dig your own well. Listen, you're going to have to dig in the Word of God. You're going to have to do your own, you have to read your own Bible. You have to read it yourself. Pray about it. You know, you're going to have to do your own praying. You're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to be obedient. To what you read, you know, be obedient there, and then you're going to have to be filled with the Spirit. Me being filled with the Spirit is not going to do as much for you as you being filled with the Spirit. You've got to do it. You know, it's a personal relationship. We have corporate church. That means everybody together. We got corporate church. That's good. But it's a personal relationship. I can't have a relationship with Christ for you. I mean, you know, I'm not having a relationship with your spouse for you. You know, hey, you're going to come to me on, hey, what did my wife say about this? What does my wife want to do about that? You know, and I'm going to say, check with your wife, and I'll come back and tell you what your wife wants. No, I'm not. That's not happening. You have a relationship with your own wife. Ask her yourself. You know, the same thing with Christ. I can't have a relationship with Jesus for you. You got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ if we're going to grow. Well, so we see it's a personal relationship. We got four wells mentioned in the Scriptures, and I'm going to use those four wells to kind of show us some things that help us along life's way here. The very first well that we see was verse 19 and 20. It said, Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and they found their well springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. Esek means contention, or it's the well of contention. Now, in a spiritual sense, this pictures the early struggles in a Christian life. Now, let me clarify that. Early struggles in the Christian life don't have anything to do with how long you've been a Christian. It just means that what well are you living around? You know, where are you at in your Christian life? You can be a Christian for 20 years and still be living at this well right here. At this well right here. It's the place where it seems like everything is a battle. Every day it's a battle with something. It's a battle to pray. It's a battle to read the Word of God. It's a battle to be obedient. It's a battle to feel like God's doing anything in your life. It's a battle to get to church. It's a battle with everything. It's just a struggle every single second of the day. Living to God seems to me more of a burden than it does a victory. You know, that just trying to live for God is just like beaten down. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of God's people that are living at this well right here. They've got to that well, and they're living at the well of contention. They've never moved on. We'll see in a minute that God will move us on from there if we'll do some digging. It just gets to be a struggle. It's a burden. And it seems like every time we go to the well to get water, the well is stopped up. You know, wouldn't that be an aggravating thing? You know, you go out there and you climb down in that hole and you get all the stuff out of the way, the rocks. And boy, if they filled a well all the way up, man, I mean, it's just like digging another well, you know, all the way down and you finally get to the water. You know, this is a lot of Christians' life. They finally get there and they get a drink. And then the next day they get up and they go out to get water again and it's filled up again. Can you imagine in the physical sense? But a lot of people are living in the spiritual sense the same way. It's just a battle to get back down to the water every single day. But you know, I want you to see something. In every case with these wells that were stopped up, the water was there. The water was there. And as I said, a lot of people still living at this well. Well, how does the well get stopped up in the spiritual sense? Now, I said earlier that the enemy would come in a physical sense. The enemy would come along. Sometimes they're trying to run you off, get you to leave, get you to get discouraged, kill you. They would come along and throw stuff in the well. Well, listen, man, the devil's our enemy, right? And the devil comes along and he tries to stop up the well that we have, the wells that we have that God has provided for us, the well of faith. You know, Satan tries to get you to doubt your faith. The well of love, you know, he makes us loveless. He takes love away. The well of service, he doesn't want you serving God. You know, it's hard to serve God if you were out there digging in your well every day. Every time my son come along and say, well, you know, how'd you like to go out soul winning? Or how'd you like to teach a class? Or how'd you like to do something for God? I'd like to be a preacher, but I'm still down here. I got to dig this well out. I got to get to the water. Man, if I don't get to the water, I'm going to die. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that can't do nothing for God because what they're constantly doing is digging the same old well out that keeps getting stopped up. They keep letting the devil stop up their well. The enemy stopped the well up. And so, it gets to be a problem. And then Satan throws in those rocks of doubt and indifference and stagnation. He keeps throwing those in there. So Satan, we know Satan can stop our well up. But the Bible tells us to put our armor on, man, get ready. You don't put armor on unless you're going to get in a fight. Huh? A lot of times we talk about putting a hedge of protection around. If I got a hedge of protection around me, I don't have to fight and I don't have to wear my armor. But if I'm going to get in a battle, man, I got to get the shield and a helmet and a feet shod and get my spear, my sword, and I got to get out there and get in the battle. So Satan can stop our well up. Another thing that can stop our well up is self, our own self. You know, when we won't yield our life to Christ totally, the rock gets knocked off in there. You know, and we keep doing that and the rocks keep falling down on it. We keep holding on to our will. And, you know, a lot of times we get to thinking, well, you know, I don't need water that bad. I talk to people all the time. I used to didn't drink enough water. I look back when I was a young kid, man, I always had chapped lips all winter long. You know why? Because I never went near water. I didn't even want to take a bath. No, I did. Didn't get near the water. My lips always chapped up, dried, man, shriveled up. I look back now, I know what was wrong. I was dehydrated. I lived most of my life dehydrated. I didn't find out until I started getting bottled water, man. I'll drink it. If I got to get it out of the spigot, I'm not going to drink it. But if I get a bottle, I'll drink the whole thing. So I just make myself drink water. And I talked to a lot of older people, man, they hardly ever drink water. Huh? Yeah, man, the women are worried about all them little crow's feet around your eyes right there. Drink a bunch of water, takes them right out. It just fills them out. Botox or whatever it is. Do that. Drink water. We live a lot of our life dehydrated in a spiritual sense too. And, you know, we think we don't need it. And we don't, and then especially when it comes to the effort that you have to put in to get it. So we clog up the well ourselves a lot of times. Sin. Sin clogs up wells. Unforgiveness. Lovelessness. Immorality. Any sin. Just any sin. Every time when we sin, it starts clogging the well up. It's just like chunking a rock down in there on top of the water. And then there's neglect as well. You know, those wells, they had to have maintenance. It was periodic maintenance that had to be done. The sides would start maybe caving in down in there, and they'd go down in there and like line them with rocks sometimes, the other rocks, and they would get them lined up. You know, you had to look in there every once in a while and say, how's the well look down there? Or like debris would get in there, just other debris down at the bottom. You dig that out and make the well deeper and have pure water, clean water. You have to do that. I have been around springs more than wells, and springs get like that. You got to clean out the leaves and stuff out of there. You can have a good spring. And it's the same way with neglect in our life. And you know, so what God is saying, listen, is look at your life. Examine yourself. The Bible tells us that. Let a man examine himself. Look at yourself. I said a lot of times about looking in the mirror. This Bible here is supposed to be a mirror. It shows us who we are and who we're not. And you know, when you look in the mirror, I said, what's the point of having a mirror if you're going to look in the mirror and not do anything about how you look? You get up, you got something in your teeth, your hair's all sticking out like a bomb. And I know sometimes it looks like I probably didn't look in the mirror because I didn't look in the mirror. That's what happened. But when you look in the mirror and you see a problem, well, you fix it. Okay, you look in the Word of God, you see a problem, and you fix it. So we need to look at ourselves, examine our life, and see this, like, what's missing? What's missing in my life? What's ailing in my life? Sometimes something's in our life, but it's not well. What's ailing in our life? Let me ask you this, how is your prayer life? How's your prayer life? You know, the more I start talking to God's people, I find this out, that there's a lot of people not praying. There's not a lot of people not praying. A lot of men not leading their families in prayer. A lot of men not praying with their wives. A lot of men not reading their Bibles. A lot of women are in the same boat. They're not doing that. What's missing? What's missing? How's your prayer life? How's your devotional time when you spend some time in the Word of God? Reading the Word of God and meditating on that. Listen, you don't have to meditate on 15 chapters. I've read one verse of Scripture in the Bible before, or I've read a chapter, but one verse of Scripture was in my mind and stayed in there all day. I kept thinking about it. I got this message here about 2 weeks ago. Stopped up wells. For some reason, stopped up wells got in my head. Stopped up wells. And I remember from reading the Bible on a regular basis that there was a story about somebody, and I wasn't sure who it was, having to redig some wells that got stopped up. And I looked it up, and there it was. That was the message that God was laying on there, because I had some devotion time, some Bible reading, some meditation time on some things. How's your service for God? What are you doing for God? Well, let me ask you this. You say, well, you know, I'd like to get closer with God, and everybody probably raise their hand. Well, what are you doing about it? How are you going to get closer to God? Amen. A lot of you here have been coming to this church for years and years and years and years and years, coming on Sunday morning to church right here years and years and years and years. You want to get closer to God, guess what? This isn't getting it done, is it? You just got to a certain point. See, and I told our Sunday school class this morning, so many Christians, they've gotten to a point in their life, but they're stopped right there. And it's just like a child that's growing up and it stops growing at a certain point in his life. If it quits growing and never grows again, something's wrong. We got to find out what it is, right? So we go to the doctor. But if you go in a spiritual life, if you only go to a certain point and you quit growing, there's something wrong. We got to look and see what it is. You haven't gone so see, just what you're doing all the time, if you've gotten to a certain point. If you're going to go past that point, you're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to do something different. You got to dig a little bit more. You know, when you get down there and you dig a well, if you've ever dug a well or a spring, and you get down there, when you first hit the water, they don't stop. They say, well, there it is, you know, and you got to go out there with a little teaspoon and just getting enough water to put in your cup. And you, that'd be miserable, wouldn't it? And the water's not that good. It's got the, what happens when you first hit the water? You keep on going. You keep on digging. You go down there and you get down there and you get the better water and you get more of it and you get it purer and it gets time to get some clear water and you dig deeper and deeper and deeper. So many of God's people, they just dig and they just first time they hit a little bit of moisture, stop digging. Stop digging, man. We don't get past that. So neglect, man, we've got to examine our life. How's your worship? Worship the Lord. How is that going? All of these things that I've spoke about are as vital to your spiritual life as they are to your physical life. Isaac dug those wells, and he dug that first well, and guess what? The enemy came along. Yeah, of course. Listen, man, you're not going to say, well, you know what, preacher, I want to be closer to God, and I'm going to start, by God, I'm going to do some things, I'm going to start getting closer to God. And then the Satan's going to say, well, gee, man, I'm not going to mess with him. Ooh. No, man, he's going to come after you. He's going to come after you. He don't got to mess with you when you're not trying to dig a well. He's not going to come after you when you're not trying to get to the water of life. He just leave you alone because he knows you're already going to die spiritually. He doesn't have fool with you. When you start trying to get close to God, guess what? The enemy comes along. But I want you to see this and preaching it this way. You could preach this a lot of different ways. But I want you to see something here with that well, that first well of contention. And as I said, it's a place of a Christian's life where life always seems to be a battle. God don't want you to stay at that well. He wants you to get to that water, and then God says, listen, I'm going to move you to another well. I want you to go a little farther in your spiritual life than that, and I want to get you to the next well. Isaac didn't want him to hang around that well anyhow. Life of defeat and discouragement and daily struggle. He wants you to get to the second well, and that's the well of separation, Sitnah. Verse 21 said, they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. Sitna, that word sitna means hatred. You know, you think about this, we talk about hate. Hate's a strong word. Is it right to hate anything? Huh? Yeah, there's some things out there to hate. Yeah, there's some things out there to hate sin, right? Hate sin. The Bible tells us to hate it. It's hatred. This is the well of separation. See, the enemy hates it when people turn to God and God begins to bless. The enemy always hates that. And then we start to dig into the things of God and we're stepping away from the world. And what the Bible tells us, listen, there's a rift. There's some contention there between the world and God and God's people. There just is. There's a natural separation. James 4 says this, last part of verse 4, says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. See, the friends of the world are the enemies of God. 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And if you don't love the things of God, I'm going to tell you something, you're lost. That's just what it said. That's what it says. If you love the things of the world and do not love the things of God, you're lost. This is the well. This well that we're talking about, this well of separation, is the well where you learn to love the things of God more and begin to hate the things of the world more. And you start to leave some things behind. So get rid of some things out of your life that don't need to be there. You begin to hate anything that disrupts your fellowship with God. And you begin to realize that the things of this world are going to perish and the things of God are going to last. You start learning that at this well right here. You start storing up treasure in heaven where moth and rust cannot corrupt. Boy, this is the well. There's a lot of Christian people need to get from the first well to this well right here. This well of separation. To receive the blessings of God, listen, every Christian, to receive the blessing of God, you have to get and dig this well. You have to get to and dig this well right here. Notice the progression that we see in a spiritual sense. At the well of contention, God moved Isaac to the well of hatred and separation. But, you know, God didn't want him to stay at each well. He moved Isaac again. And when he got to that well, you get to that point, what happens is God begins to bless. It's hard for God to bless us when we're always leading a defeated Christian life. When we're always down in the, when we're always digging the well, we can't even receive the blessings of God because we're constantly digging, struggling with everything in our Christian life. When you start getting to the well of separation, you start getting some things out of your life. Less stuff to clog the well up, by the way. Then God begins to bless. God begins to bless us. Well, when you get to that point, guess what? God's going to bless. When you start getting those blessings, God blesses more. And he moved Isaac again. And he says in verse 22, he removed from thence and digged yet another well. And for that they strove not. That they strove not. This is the well Rehoboth. It's the well of fruitfulness. You know, the Bible tells us this also, that if we resist the devil, that he'll flee from us. Notice the enemy came at well number one when he dug that one in the well of contention. Listen, the devil's right in the middle of that one. And then when you get to the well of separation, listen, the enemy comes along right there too, because he doesn't like to see anything separate. He doesn't like to see anybody separating from the world, so he comes along right there. But when you do it, when you separate from the world and the devil knows he's defeated, guess what? God begins to bless. And when he got to this well right here, listen, the enemy didn't come to this one. The enemy didn't come. It's not to say that the devil's never going to come back, but he will flee. As I said, the first time he dug, the enemy came. The second time the enemy came, just kept on digging. The enemy quit. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is when we begin to draw closer to God, that search for deeper spiritual truth and deeper relationship. The search for the water of life, for growth, the good water. The enemy doesn't like it. As I said, he won't give up. But we have to get past that well of contention. We have to get past the well of separation, deal with ourself, deal with sin. We got to do that. If you want to get closer to God, you got to get to the place of victory. You got to get away from the contention. And then also you've got to get where you got to get to a point where you deal with yourself and you deal with sin. You got to deal with it. You just got to deal with it. Self, man. And you'll constantly have to deal with self. I'm going to tell you that self is constantly wanting to knock you up, knock God off the throne and get him on the throne. You've constantly got to deal with that. But if you resist, then we can get to this final well when we get to that point right there, the well of enlargement. This, as I said, is a well of fruitfulness because God can begin to use us and to enlarge our coast. This is the well where you walk in victory and not defeat. Instead of the enemy moving you, you move the enemy. That's the place you need to get to. Instead of the enemy always moving you, you got to move the enemy. Listen, a lot of people don't get to this well because they give up. They give in. They get discouraged. You know, you just got to keep on digging. As I said before, the water is always there. And then there's the last well we see that he dug was the well of promise over there in verse 32 and verse 33. He dug a well there. They found some water and they called it Sheba. And then it became a city, Beersheba. That Sheba means the oath or the promise of God. And this ought to be the goal of every believer. Start understanding some things. You know, when you look at Isaac's life, he made some mistakes. He lost some battles, but he moved on. He just kept on digging. He hit water. And when he got water here, this is where, when you get to the place where you're settled in your spirit, you're settled in spirit, and this is the place that God will bless. We see some of the blessings of God at this well right here. All the blessings are listed from verse 24 on down to about verse 32. We see in verse 24, when he got to that point, it said, "The Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father." And look what he said, "Fear not, fear not." This is the place where you know you're free from fear because of the presence of God continually in your life. The presence of God continually in your life will take all fear away. Man, when the Lord's standing there with that sword drawn in his hand, the enemy can't do anything. Can't do anything. That's when you start living in, you're really living in victory now because you're free from fear. We also see it's a place of increase in verse 24. In the last part, it said, "I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servants' sake." It's a place of increase. You won't lack for anything, but it's a place of plenty. And then in verse 26 through 31, we see that the enemy actually will become afraid of you. You'll have the devil on the run instead of the devil having you on the run when you get to this place in your Christian life. And then in verse 32, we see every time you dig, you find water. Every time you dig, you find water. It's when we quit living. This is when you get to the place here where you quit living a hit or miss Christian life. Huh? A lot of people haven't gotten to this well. Haven't gotten to this place. It's sputtering, spurting, man. My great-grandmother had an old spring house, and back in the day, they put them old galvanized pipes. They ran them underground. The pipe probably wasn't that big to start with. And then they ran it up to the spring house, and it wasn't way up on the mountain, so it was a real slow gravity feed. And then over the years, the rust kind of caked it up. You probably couldn't stick a pencil lead through the middle of the hole in that thing. And this is honest truth. When you put water, when you turn water on, no way in the world could you put two spigots on in the house at the same time. And if you turned one on and you put a glass in there about this tall, it would probably take 2 minutes for that water, that glass to fill up with water. That's kind of how a lot of people are living their Christian life. You know, sputtering and spitting and gurgling and a little bit coming out and finally filling, you know, trying to get the blessings of God. We're just, because we're living hit and miss Christian's life. When you get to this well right here, when you get past the well of contention and you go through separation and you deal with yourself and you get to the place where God begins to bless, and then you keep on digging and you don't stop. You keep digging, you don't get the first little damp piece of dirt you get to and you quit, but you keep digging for the water, you keep digging, 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 and you get to this last well right here. This is the place, listen, where you're going to quit living a hit and miss. Show up one day for church and then a month later we'll see you again, and you know, read your Bible once every 3 weeks, and then you can't find it for another 2 weeks because you don't use it enough to figure out where it's at, and hadn't had prayer in so long. You know, you got to identify yourself. You know, God, this is Bill. You know, you got to identify who you are because you're afraid God done forgot who it is. And that's a hit and miss Christian life, right? You quit doing that. We lived, you know, then when you're going to live a life of satisfaction at this well right here. And then also we see in verse 33, it said the name of the city is Beersheba. Here was a well, because what I'll tell you what happens when you get to that well, people are drawn to that. This is when you can be an effective soul winner. People will be drawn to your life because they see what God's doing in your life. Listen, people aren't drawn to somebody that's down there digging a well. So people aren't drawn to somebody that's back at the well of contention, always struggling, always living in defeat, always down in there digging the rocks out, can't do nothing for God, fussing, feuding, struggling to get anything done. That don't attract anybody. Huh? And then when you're still dealing with your own self and dealing with sin and you're hitting and missing on that part of your life, people aren't attracted to that either. But what? Listen, when you get the victory and you're walking in victory, you're walking with the Lord, His presence is with you continually, and your enemies are fleeing, and you got power with God, and you're living a life like that, people are attracted. And I'm going to tell you what, it's going to turn into a city. It'll turn into a city right there. That's what happened in that case right there. All right, I was digging for my amen sign. That's, you know, I'm going to get an electronic one so Daryl can just operate it from the back. Hey, amen, right? This is good stuff, man. Your well becomes a city. Like I said, and I'll say this in closing, too many folks quit digging. They dig a little bit in one place, and they don't even get to the water, and then they try to move on to the next place, and they dig a little problem. You know what? People start thinking that there's a problem with the well. The water was there the whole time, but you had to get down to it. And a lot of people think, you know what, I'm digging right here, and there's just something wrong with the well. And they want to move from well to well to well, and they never get there. They get, you know, we got to try a new method. We got to get a new program. Maybe what we need is a new church because we just ain't getting to the water. The water was always there. Water always was there. Listen, we don't need to, and listen, I want you to know something. They were old wells. They weren't new wells. We don't need nothing new. We just got to dig in the old. Amen. Huh? We don't need a new version of the Bible. Huh? We don't need some kind of new crazy church. We're going to try some smoke and mirrors and, you know, pastor floats up through the floor and some kind of different kind of music. We don't need nothing new. Huh? We don't got to have $100 bills. It wouldn't work anyway, but we don't have to have $100 bills hanging out there for you to get when you come in every service. You just got to get to the... just got. Dig in the same well that we always had. The well of prayer. Huh? The well of faith. The well of God's Word. Just keep this right here. This word hadn't changed. It's not going to change. It's settled in heaven. It's going to be there. Huh? You better start reading it now. Huh? You better dig in there now. This Word is going to be set. It's in heaven right now. Huh? Get right there. Listen, man. Dig in the old wells. God's already established those. Let me ask you this in closing. How you doing? Have you done any digging whatsoever? What well are you living at? You know, you're still back there at the well of contention. We're just living your daily Christian life seems to be a struggle. Huh? Keep digging. Keep digging. The water's there. And when you get to that, when you get the water on that one, dig down, get good water there. Then you move on to the well of separation where you start dealing with yourself. Quit worrying about everybody else. Just deal with you. Huh? Deal with you. See, when you're at the well of contention, guess what? There's something wrong with everybody else. When you get over there to the well, when you get to the well of separation, you find out there's nothing wrong with everybody else. It's wrong with you. Huh? You got to deal with you. You deal with yourself and deal with your sin and deal with separation. Get some stuff back. Get all the junk out of your life that's going to fall in the well and clog it up. And then when you get to that one, keep digging. Get down there in the good water there. Then you get to the well of blessing. When you hit that first little bit of water, keep on digging. Huh? Keep on digging because, you know, you got to supply life. You got to have good water. And you get to that water right there, get the supply of that water right there, and guess what? Then God's going to bless and he'll pour you out a blessing. The Bible says you won't even be able to receive it all, and people's going to be attracted to that. You say, well, I'm not any good at soul winning. You get to that point, you will be. You get to that point right there, people will be attracted to that. Huh? A city. It'll be a city. Let's pray. Let's all stand heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for encouraging us with your word. And I pray for us, Lord. We know Satan throws stuff in our wells, and we got to keep digging sometime to get down there to the water. We know it's there. Lord, help us to resist him so it flee. Lord, help us to deal with ourselves and our sin, Lord, and get that out of our way, out of the way where you can pour out a blessing, Lord. Help us to be a well that would turn into a city, Lord, that we attract people to you. And just deal with us. And whatever we're at, wherever we're at, Lord, move us. No, we need to move ahead. There's times you move us from those early spiritual stages, Lord, to a closer walk with you. We know you desire it, Lord. It's just that we want it bad enough to dig for it. So you have your will and way in each heart here, Lord. I pray if there's one here not sure about their salvation, maybe, Lord, they just hadn't got to the water of life at all, never have gotten to it, never had a taste. Lord, we pray today will be that day. You work in your own time, Lord, and deal with them hearts, and we'll put the invitation into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.